Welcome to the Difference Maker podcast series, the place where LaSalle College High School student athletes talk about using an athletic platform to bring people closer to Christ.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Difference Maker podcast series, where we sit down with LaSalle College athletes, student athletes who talk about ways that they use the platform of sport to bring people closer to Christ. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, here with two sports standout and class president, Andrew Brennan, along with our podcast engineer, Jonathan Wilbur, the brains behind the operation. So welcome to the program. Excited to have you. Certainly, Andrew, we're really excited that you're our first guest to the podcast series.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is super cool, you know, especially here at LaSalle.
Absolutely.
Cool opportunities. I'm really excited.
Yeah, you were a no-brainer. You know, when I look at guys that check all the boxes at LaSalle, not only are you a student athlete, you're class president, you're a Kairos leader, you're a peer mentor leader, you know, you're involved in campus mission and ministry. So when I think of LaSalle students, I think, you know, I picture guys like yourself at the very top of that list. So this is a platform where we're trying to use sport to bring people closer to Christ. And I don't think anybody in the building does that better than you. Let's start out, talk about your upbringing, your family, you know, where you went to school prior to LaSalle and things of that nature.
Yeah, so I live in a family of five. Both my parents are around. I have two brothers, Stephen and Joseph. Stephen's 21, he goes to Pitt, and Joe's 26. He's in grad school right now, actually at Arcadia, right around the corner. So I've had a loving family my whole life. You know, we routinely were Catholics growing up. My parents kind of, you know, taught us about the basic values of being a Catholic, going to Mass and, you know, getting your sacraments. In terms of school, I went to public school from kindergarten through eighth grade, but I actually lived in Berks County, which is like out towards Reading.
Sure.
And then I was forced to relocate into the, you know, Bucksmont area at kind of during the pandemic because my mom had gotten a new job in Doylestown.
Okay.
So that had kind of forced me to relocate into this area.
Okay, good. What was it about LaSalle, coming from a public middle school, what was it about LaSalle that kind of told you this was the place you wanted to be?
So there was kind of two main reasons. I would be lying if I said, obviously, moving didn't have anything to do with it. And I know what a public school environment is like. This place advertised kids coming from all over, and, you know, it would kind of be this fresh start, which is something that really interests me because I just, at the time, I didn't necessarily know if I wanted to go through the whole process of, like, being the one kid again.
Sure.
I mean, the only kid who didn't know anyone. Because in public school, you have defined friend groups. You have kids who have been together since they were in kindergarten. I was a part of one. I experienced that. And it kind of just made sense. And I thought it'd be the right choice just coming here. And my parents also influenced it too. We kind of came to a conclusion on that.
Awesome. I know you're very involved in your faith. You're involved in a ton of different ministry groups here on campus. Who have been some of the spiritual influences in your life?
Yeah, I really like this question. I think the most obvious answer and most immediate thing that I think of is my family, just because, you know, we embrace our emotions, we embrace being vulnerable and all these things that kind of build up to having good faith, to, you know, praying, to having moments where you need to just relax and take a step back and be vulnerable.
Surrender, right?
Yeah, 100%. And in terms of LaSalle, it's really the whole community. I mean, I have a bunch of people, but Mr. Shooks, the last year I had him for morality class. One of the amazing things about him is he emphasized this idea that we're all human and like the humanity of the world and that we make mistakes.
Sure.
And I think that's a really powerful thing because it's the reality. And despite others' negative choices sometimes, we should try to show compassion and empathy for them and just have rational thinking, look at both sides. And one thing that sticks to me with him is I remember last year during there was a shooting in Nashville, and I remember we prayed in class at the beginning for like both sides, like
sure.
for the shooter's family and everyone related with him, and then also obviously the people who had died, the children, the teacher. I just thought that was a really powerful moment. And then also I was able to go on Kairos as a junior, and that kind of experience as a whole really strengthened a lot for me, and it kind of helped a lot of things click, the after effect.
That's awesome. Obviously, a two sports standout. Right now, you're in the middle of football season. I'm glad we timed this up perfectly with a bye, so you're not kind of stressed out about having to perform tonight or tomorrow. But St. John Paul II, you know, believed that sport is an incredible platform to bring people closer to Christ. The way we compete, the way we give glory to God, in our competition. The way we can celebrate our common humanity with our opponents. A couple quotes from John Paul II. Sports contribute to the love of life, teaches sacrifice, respect, and responsibility, leading to the full development of every human person. Another quote that I love from St. John Paul II. Sport trains the body and the spirit for perseverance, effort, courage, balance, sacrifice, honesty, friendship, and collaboration. I know sports has been a big part of your LaSalle experience here, but what would you say? What would you say about his notion that sports gives us the opportunity to bring the platform to bring people closer to Christ?
I think it's very true and also very powerful, because obviously we're talking about, I'm in football season right now. I think one of the ways that it parallels very clearly is, when you play for a football team, you have to understand that you're representing something a lot bigger than yourself. And in this case, for me, it's LaSalle, right? Like, we represent LaSalle every time we go out on a Friday night, Saturday. And it's kind of how we live our life, right? Like, we do things in God's name, right? In Christ's name. And I think there's actually an almost identical parallel to that. When you're playing football, you're representing LaSalle. When you're living your everyday life, you're representing God. So that's kind of, I think it's totally true, and that's kind of how you become closer to Christ when you start to understand that.
Amen. The other thing I think that I've always believed this, right? There's so many parallels with sports and faith formation and pursuit, right? Like, there's days where you feel like you can lift the world and you can run like the wind, and you feel like you're at your A game, and then there's other days, you know, when you're performing, you know, two physically demanding sports, wrestling and football, there's other days where you feel like you got a bear on your back and you're moving in quicksand. And I feel like that sometimes with our faith relationship with Christ. It's like some days you feel like you're so dialed in and you can feel, you know, you're almost at the foot of the cross and you can reach out and physically touch Christ because you feel so close to him. And then there's other days that you feel like you're wallowing in the darkness, and you just, you know, you're going through a bad spot, and you feel like, you know, your prayers aren't being heard, and you're frustrated, you're crying out in desperation. But in both scenarios, you keep pursuing, knowing that there's better days ahead.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Like, nothing is ever perfect.
No.
So you have to... I like to say, keep your head down, but like what you said, persevere. You have to get through those moments, whether it's praying, and even if you're not, if your prayers aren't being heard, it's the consistency of it. The more consistent you are, the more predictable the outcome's going to be.
Absolutely. Repetition, right?
Yeah.
We're repetitive in our Catholic rituals. We're repetitive in our athletic rituals and preparation. And I really think that, you know, the concept of preparedness, right? I want to be prepared. I want to begin again. I want to renew my spirit, you know, every day, every after every week, even after a loss, right? There's an opportunity to begin again, you know. And I feel like the parallels between sports and faith formation or spirituality are so close. We have so many. One of the beauties of our faith as Catholics, we have so many platforms of worship. We have Mass, we have Confession, we have Novenas, we have Divine Mercy Chaplet, we have the Rosary, Stations, Adoration, Saintly Intercession. You know, are there any specifically that might appeal to you personally?
Yeah, so I would say there's two. One of the reasons I'm a fan of Saintly Intercessions is because when you look at saints, it's more relatable to me and I would say the average person, because they're human.
Yeah.
and we can, the figure of Christ is hard for me sometimes to conceptualize, because it's like, well, have I seen him? No, but his actions are human.
Sure.
And that's why I think saints are so important, because it allows me to see like a tangible example of like, okay, St. Andrew, he was a fisherman, he was an apostle, these human-like qualities that are more relatable, which then builds your relationship closer to Christ.
No doubt. The other thing I love about the saints is, right, they're all flawed. You know,
yeah.
Obviously, some of them, you know, you think of Mother Teresa, I think she came out of the womb like just, almost, you know, near perfect. But, you know, saints like, you know, St. Paul, right, you know, killing thousands of Christians, and some of the saints that we can lean on and say, man, he was just like me and sinful in nature, and just kind of able to overcome his or her sinfulness in pursuit. You know, I think in the last 3 or 4 years in my faith journey, I've leaned more on saintly intercession than I have ever before. Just kind of trying to educate myself on maybe who, you know, as I do my daily prayer, you know, kind of focus on who's the saint of the day, whose feast day might it be, what was their background? So many saints that we're not even aware of. You know, I think one of the things Christ calls us to do in the gospel, you know, is be other-centered. You know, be you know, I think a lot of times we get caught up with the disease of me, right? It's about me and my happiness and my, you know, my retweets or my, you know, my experiences. And you know, he's constantly calling us to be other-centered. And one of my favorite quotes is by St. Francis of Assisi. I'm going to butcher it, but it goes something like this: always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. You know, it's like we're meant to, you know, St. Timothy tells us it's words plus deeds. That Christ is looking for, not just words only. So it's one thing to be, you know, reading the Bible and focusing on the mission, the message and the mission, but unless we're going out and being doers, it's futile. You know, it's not what Christ is asking from us. But I know you're involved in a lot of campus mission and ministry, community outreach. I know this past summer you went on the trip to Arizona, the Navajo Nation trip.
Yes.
Talk about that for a second and what that experience was like for you.
It was definitely very unique for two reasons. One, the geography of everything was definitely different for me. We live in a bubble a little bit here.
Sure.
Especially LaSalle. Best facilities.
Sure.
The place is spotless. It's amazing.
One
of a kind. The Navajo Nation, in particular, the school we're staying at, St. Michael's Indian School, there's dirt all over the place. The walls are not clean. The bathrooms maybe aren't clean all the time.
Sure.
They don't have an abundance of workers like we do, people who are dedicated to making this place look spotless. They have like 3 people, do you know what I mean, throughout the summer. And there's kids that are participating in things. They don't have the
support staff,
yeah,
all of it.
They don't have what we have. And, you know, resources in the Navajo Nation, everything's spread out. So especially where we were, I mean, we had a grocery store close, but other than that, things are miles away.
Sure.
It's, you can't,
like, hospitals, all of
yeah,
it. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Everything's miles away. And it kind of, I feel like this is used a lot when you're talking about service and going out and doing things, like it offers a perspective, but it really does offer you a perspective of how fortunate we are here. The things that we don't worry about that they do. So that's the biggest thing I take away.
No doubt. And I think in God's divine providence, right, when he wires us that when we're other-centered, we're actually happier.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's
amazing. Like when we're focusing on ourselves, especially when, you know, in the day and age of social media where, you know, I'm looking at everyone's highlight tape and saying, oh man, why can't I be more like Jonathan? Or why can't I be more like Andrew? He's got the world licked. He's got everything. And, you know, what we don't realize is we're watching somebody's highlight tape. So, you know, we're not watching, you know, Andrew or Joe or Jonathan grinding away through the things that they're battling that nobody knows about. All we're seeing is the public display, which isn't reality, right? So that adds to our misery. But I think the way God wires us is that we're going to be truly happier when we're focusing on other people, you know. And I'm reminded of yesterday. I was reading to my freshman the gospel. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, you do for me. You know, and you know, we're called for that type of discipleship. We're called for that type of extension. And you know, you talked about the commonality of humanity, right? We're talked about helping out. You know, who is my brother, Jesus? And he says, well, everyone's, you know, everyone you come into contact is your brother. So that's awesome. And I'm sure you came back with a whole different perspective from that experience.
Oh, 100%. And I'm really happy I went there because of the geography. That really is why. I've been out west before, but I've never really, like, lived. I didn't even live, but I was there for, like, a week. And I think that's a super unique perspective. Again, all goes back to LaSalle for even offering that. So
awesome.
One of a kind.
Awesome. You know, getting back to your sports experience, I know we talked about this earlier, but, you know, sometimes sports in the heat of competition, you know, oftentimes it's a cliche that sports brings out the best in us. Sometimes it brings out the worst in us. And, you know, we're in a fishbowl, right, when you're competing, you know, and everyone, you know, everyone sees the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, and sometimes we're the challenge to be Christ-like in our competition isn't always easy. Talk about that for a second. You know, when you feel yourself, do you feel like a responsibility as a leader and a senior? Even last year, you know, being a leader and an established you know, wrestler and established football player, do you feel like, you know, you're leading the way for the other people that when a ref makes a bad call or, you know, a big play happens for the other team, do you feel like people, eyes are on you to see, you know, what you're doing to kind of right the ship, so to speak?
Yeah, 100%. One of the things I always say is, like, a lot of people always emphasize the idea of, like, we got to be hyped for a game. We got to get excited. I'm actually someone who's like, let's relax.
Sure.
Take a step back, because the more emotional you get, especially with sports, sports are all emotional. You put so much into them, you hate when things don't go your way, but everyone's watching you on our team. If I get a bad call or something, if there's a flag, if a ref makes a bad call in a match and I'm freaking out, it doesn't help anyone.
No doubt.
It doesn't do anything.
No,
it's
no
just
doubt.
There's no point of it. And particularly, I would say, as, like, you know, in a leadership position, people follow my demeanor.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's hard to get everyone on the same page because, you know, not everyone thinks the way that I do, but I definitely feel I have a responsibility to, like, calm people down a lot. And I'm also someone who, like, when I get angry and super frustrated, I don't play well.
No.
Some people think, like, oh, be angry and,
no,
and you'll play better, you'll hit harder. For me, it's that,
sure,
I'll play worse.
I feel, you know, I know for me, it was always hard, like, coaching for 30 years. I never really was able to reconcile totally. Like, I felt like a little bit of a hypocrite sometimes when I was maybe in moments of weakness, or, you know, when I wasn't my best version of myself on the sideline getting after a referee or whatever, you know. And then I felt like a hypocrite because I would profess that I was, you know, that I had a, people would see me in church or see me, like, doing different things. And, you know, I always felt like uneasy because I was coming across maybe as a hypocrite because I wasn't always my best self in the public fishbowl. I don't miss that that rub, you know, between, you know, my public self and what I profess to believe in and to act like off the field. But there were definitely challenges with that along the way.
Yeah, there always is. It's a part of the game. Like, I think of wrestling, I've had many moments with Mr. Courtney where we kind of go back and forth. But this is what I'll say. It only makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You kind of have your moments, but then you learn from them, and it only makes you stronger, and it allows you to handle the situation differently.
Definitely. Wrestling, I mean, I know certainly my son Dylan, you know, started wrestling as a sophomore, and we knew nothing about the sport, but, man, is there a more grueling, vulnerable sport than wrestling? I mean, in football, you can kind of hide. First of all, there's so many moving parts. You know, if you didn't do your job, chances are somebody may not have, unless it's a dropped ball or a getting beat on a one-on-one. Most of the time in football, you know, you can kind of hide behind your teammates a little bit. But in wrestling, I mean, it's you and it's the other guy, and there's no place to hide. And to have that fortitude and show that vulnerability, it's really unique.
Yeah, I mean, it is mental and physical warfare. That's really how I think about it. And
most of the time, it's warfare against
yourself. No, against yourself. Yeah. That's 100%. When I'm referring to the mental aspect, it's, you know, I'm someone who, before I go out on a match, I go through the ringer in terms of my, like, emotions. I'm like, let's go. I'm like, wait, pick on this and that. I'm like, I'm all over the place. But then if you win, it's like, I did that.
Sure.
Not the receiver or the quarterback or the left tackle. It was me. That's awesome. And there's a lot of individual glory in it, right? But you can always – there's really no better feeling.
No. And you're one step away from being humbled too. So I've always felt wrestlers were more grounded than other athletes, because even when they're at their best, it wasn't too long. Somebody's was always, you know, they've always been pinned. They've always been, they're always being capable of getting themselves into a bad situation physically and getting exposed, so to speak. But I always felt that there's a humility with wrestlers that a lot of sports may not have.
Yeah, 100%. Football is a great sport from camaraderie and a team aspect, but wrestling, there's nothing better than wrestling for yourself. Nothing better.
No doubt. Listen, brother, I love watching you compete. This has been awesome. Super excited. Best of luck with the rest of the football season and into wrestling. You're going to crush it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. This was awesome.
All right, folks. God bless. Until the next time, have a great one. Bye-bye.